Hey guys, Joe here. I wanted to come in here at the beginning of the episode to let you know that when we recorded this, Ron and I's tracks were a little wonky. We had just some problems recording. I was able to clean it up as much as possible. Chris's track, our guest, Chris, his track is fine. You can understand him perfectly fine. But our track was, there was a lot of feedback. Like I said, I cleaned it up and there, but you still be able to hear a little bit of it. It lasts up until about the 9-ish minute mark. But once you get past that, it's perfectly fine. We're able to fix it. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. So once you get past that, everything's gonna be fine. And just enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And also with us from, oh wow, I forgot your podcast, Horses of Comic News, and Bat Friends podcast, we have Chris.
Hey.
Sorry about that, man.
It's okay, I forget my own podcast sometimes, too.
Also, you know, with being quarantined or stuck in the house for however long we're going to be stuck in the house for now is driving me crazy. It's only been 2 days.
Yeah, luckily, my work is considered necessary labor.
Well, I mean, cause you what do you do again? You deliver Pepsi, right?
Yeah, I deliver Pepsi products.
Yeah. I mean,
people probably would go crazy without them.
Yeah.
Well, we get caught in a technicality because we deliver water. So.
Yeah. I know Ron and I used to work at a Kroger distribution company.
I'm so glad we aren't.
Oh, so glad we're not working there anymore. Oh, that would suck.
Because I guarantee they're working 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Which, I mean, great for them that they're providing us with all the stuff, but
I just drunk somebody up.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, thankfully, we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah. But. Yeah. All right, so Chris, you're joining us today because you wanted to read the Miracle Man comics. Yeah. You suggested to me about a week or so back, actually a couple weeks back, sorry. And yeah, so we're going to be doing Miracle Man today. However, you also have something coming out, which by the time this episode comes out, it will be live. So if you want to go ahead and talk about your Kickstarter project.
Yeah, so a few years back, I decided I wanted to make my own comic. We've been doing the podcast for a while. We talked to a few creators, both big and small, and I had the common connection there that they all were just guys who wanted to create comics. So I said, oh, I'll take a shot at it. And it's something I always thought about and always, you know, dreamed about doing and just never pulled the trigger on. So I had a bunch of ideas lying around that I wanted to do, and one I pulled out that I thought would be the funnest to start with was actually an old fan fiction thing I wrote. It's basically watching and being a Pokemon fan my whole life. The idea of, like, you know, you watch the show and Meowth is always talking and the rest can't talk. And I was like, well, what if, like, they evolved and they just, like, had a revolution and started up throwing all the Pokemon trainers and it became like this post-apocalyptic version of it. And then I kind of melded that into my own world, and that's what this book is. It's called Battle Monsters Number One. It's all about a group of survivors who are around after the what we call the Great Revolt, and they have to go and find somebody to help them with their camp because the camp is starting to lose the certain abilities like electricity and other things, and there's one person that can help them. And they have to go through this forest Definitely not the forest from the video game. and there's a bunch of creatures there, and they have to go through it and find the old doctor. That's definitely not Professor Oak. And yeah, and it goes from there. So I got it together. I found a great artist and a great colorist, and we've been putting it together. Currently, the book is complete for content. So I have all the inks, all the pencils, and most of the lettering is done. I sent you a rough copy of it.
Yes.
And we're basically raising funds on Kickstarter to try to get the coloring finished and pay for the printing run of it. So that's going to be launching on March 27th, which I think you said this will be out by then.
Yeah, this episode will be out this Friday, the 27th. So the day it launches.
Okay, so the day you're listening to this, it is live. You can either go to chrisrunt.com, that's chrisrunt.com, to get the link to it, or I'm sure these guys will have it in their show notes when I send it to them. And yeah, check it out. I think it's a cool project. You know, our goal isn't that high, so it's very obtainable. And if this is successful, we can move on to issue two and complete the four issue series and see how it goes from there. But I'm really excited for it. Super nervous as well.
Of course, but, it's Kickstarter.
Yeah, and especially since the apocalypse is happening.
Yeah.
The mini apocalypse.
Yeah. So I always choose perfect timing to do these kinds of things. But yeah, so, definitely, guys, go check it out.
I have a question.
Okay.
Will the Pokemon be, I mean, the battle monsters, be enslaving humans to fight for them?
Not right now. So there is another story that I want to do inside this world where we talk more about the Great Revolt. In issue two, you get a closer look at kind of what happened from the humans' perspective. But what I want was basically, definitely not Meowth, says that the humans have enslaved them and that they need to come out and be their own being. You know, they're fighting for their own freedom. So all they want is to live in peace. And when the humans come into the forest, that's kind of them declaring war on the monsters. The monsters feel like that's their, you know, outside of these settlements, that's theirs. As long as we don't do go between them, everybody's fine. But once that happens, you start to see where the monsters get pissed. So they have no plans on enslaving the humans. They just want to be free.
Very nice. Yeah, like I said, you sent me a rough draft, and I read it. I really liked it. But yeah, like, I'm really excited. I'm definitely backing it. Hopefully you guys will too. So... but yeah. Any other questions?
No, that's all I wanted to know.
Okay. Yeah, I am looking forward to getting funded. So,
yeah. And our artist Kelly Chandra is fantastic. I love his art.
Yeah.
He fit that style I wanted. It's almost like a Invincible-esque kind of style he's got there. So
okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
that's what attracted to me at first. I was like, I love Invincible.
Yeah, Invincible. Yeah, yeah. We'll be hitting that on the show at some point in time. I don't know. We've got a lot of things to do here in the next however long we're going to be doing this podcast. Okay, so we are talking about Miracle Man issues 1-4. And now I have a Gary barking. This is only 4 issues, guys. We can get through this, right?
Maybe.
Magic 8 Ball says.
All right. It was published in 2014 by Marvel. The writer is the original writer and Mark Anglo. The art is done by Gary Leach, Alan Davis, Don Lawrence, Steve Dillon, and Paul Neary. Colors by Steve Olaf. The letters were by Joe Caramagna. Magna?
I can't read your handwriting.
Yeah, my handwriting sucks. It's also in the front of your book. And
that seems like
Chris Eliopoulos. Sure, we'll go with that.
Caramagna and Chris Eliopoulos.
Sure.
It's Steve Polychronopoulos.
Also, the restorations were done by Michael Keller,
Kelleher.
That sounds good.
And then Kellustration.
And Gary Leach. And I bring that up because you both had asked about the beginning prologue. Now, I think that was a new thing to this collection. In my somewhat research, because there's a lot of things to this, in my a little bit of research I saw, this was originally published in the 1950s.
1954.
Under the title Marvel Man.
Yes.
Young Marvel Man.
No, so there was Marvel Man and Young Marvel Man. They actually both ran concurrently.
Gotcha.
And then there was that ran into the 60s, like late 63 or something. And then this was a UK book, the UK publishing house that published it. And then in the 80s, in the comic anthology Warriors, they wanted to revive Marvel Man. And so they asked Alan Moore to come on and write a new story, which is what we'll...
So what you're saying is Alan Moore came on Miracle Man?
Actually, Alan Moore came on Marvel Man.
And turned him into Miracle Man.
No, that's not till 2000. Yeah, so Marvel Man was... Alan Moore came back on in the 80s to do Marvel Man for the Warriors book, which ironically also published V for Vendetta, which was pretty cool. And then in the... Let's see, about a year or so later, Marvel proper went into a licensing dispute with the, I think, L. Miller and Sons.
Funeral Home?
Well, they were the ones publishing, or the Eclipse was publishing, whatever publishing company UK had at the time. And it became a big lawsuit. And this is also after the time that DC had already had Captain Marvel from Fawcett Comics and had that big old dispute, which ended in, what, 2011 when Marvel finally got Captain Marvel back. But whatever, that's no comment there. Yeah, so it didn't become Miracle Man until 2014 when Marvel got the rights to the character. Well, they bought the rights from Mike Angelo.
Gotcha.
In 2011 or something. So this is, we're basically reading the reprints of Alan Moore's 1982 stories, which was why every time I looked it up, Alan Moore was attached to it. But reading this, Alan Moore was not attached to it. So I'm like, what the heck?
So these are the Alan Moore ones right here.
It's one of my favorite stories in comics. It's when they bought it, they approached Alan Moore to see if they could print his name because he has some stupid contract thing.
It's Alan Moore.
And he's like, no, you cannot use my name in it. So all the reprints, because they did it in single issues first.
Yes.
And then they did these, and all the reprints just says the original author. So,
okay, that makes more sense now why it says that. I was wondering why, like, who the hell is the original writer? I was like, what the...
This was also during a point when Alan Moore was like, I hate comics and comics are worthless.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, look at everything that's, that any company has done to his properties. They've just run them into the ground.
I like to pick on Alan Moore, but at the same time, I completely understand every decision he's made because he has been screwed over and over again.
Yeah. All of his writings are amazing. Everything he's done, everything he's written.
Everything I've ever read.
The Swamp Thing one, like everything I've read by Alan Moore has been great. The problem is companies want money. So they're going to bleed everything dry.
Exactly.
And yeah, I can see his hatred for everything, but But at the same time, it's like, well, what are you gonna do? You know, you don't have rights to these characters. You're working for a company who does have rights for these characters, and they're gonna do what they want.
Yeah, but you're the one that makes the characters awesome.
Sure, but the company still holds the rights to the characters.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. We're not even getting into that debate. Companies suck ass.
Yeah, the one I always get into is Watchmen. Like, Watchmen was supposed to revert back to Alan Moore, but they had a loophole that said if they keep printing it, they can hold the rights.
See, and now it's more popular than ever, so he's never going to get that stuff back.
And that's why if you watch the TV show, his name isn't even in the credits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've yet to watch the TV show. I need to do that. I just finished up Westworld Season 2.
I didn't know they had a TV
show. Yeah, it's on HBO.
Yeah, well, then I won't watch it anyways.
It's probably the best non-Alan Moore Watchmen thing, which isn't a high bar, but it's still pretty good.
Fair enough. So let's go ahead and get into the comics here. We start out with this prologue, and this is not Alan Moore related, but this gives a nice understanding of what's going on.
Whatever you want to call it, pre-bullshit
that happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
And this one is just the Miracle Man family, which includes Miracle Man, Young Miracle Man, and Kid Miracle Man, stopping this guy from the future.
He's like a space Nazi or something, a time Nazi. I don't know.
I like how they, the one guy, I don't even know that dude's name. It's not even that important. But he shows that his Chrono Cruiser is not a joke by destroying their house and says, we shall destroy you if you don't give us what you want. It's like, why don't you just destroy somebody first? And then they'll actually pay attention to what he's doing.
They need slaves.
Well, you can still kill one person.
That's one less slave you have.
Yeah. Have you seen these hillbilly slaves? I don't think we need them.
Well, you know they can just breed together and still make more.
Okay, fair enough. Enough of that. We get Kid Miracle Man fighting off these future Nazi guys. He recruits Young Miracle Man to come help him. But they're just kind of stopping one faction.
Well, and they said that every time they knock one down, they just get back up because they can't be beaten down.
Yeah. And then we get Miracle Man who reads the paper, which did you see where he worked at?
The Daily Bugle. Yeah, I was actually going to comment on that.
Yeah.
That the Daily Bugle seemed to have transferred from this line to...
Yeah. Although Spider-Man was... When did Spider-Man come out? 60...
I don't know.
64?
Was it 64?
So 10 years after this came out.
Daily Bugle, this was first, technically. Yep. Oh, snap. Stan Lee is an original? What? Sorry. But anyway, so the...
So he speaks a magic word?
Yeah, this Mike... they say Mickey Morin. Or also Mike Morin, however you say his name. Speaks his magic word very, very Captain Marvel-esque.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I looked that up just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And Captain Marvel, Shazam, for those of you that don't
Shazam
know.
Shazam now. Yeah.
That don't know that, Captain Marvel is,
Billy Batson and all that crap.
Anyways, so he came out in 1940 in Wiz Comics number 2. And Miracle Man came out in 1954 the Miracle Man, that name came out in Young Marvel Man 25 in the UK, and which was also Miracle Man number 1 in the US. I looked it up because I was
again. Curious. This thing has a very storied history.
There's not a very good chronology here.
Yeah. Basically, what happens is that Miracle Man miracles up and
looks like a blonde Superman. Look at the hair.
Oh, so one thing I did find, and we'll get to that in the next section. Miracle Man was Gary Leach copied him off or modeled him after Paul Newman. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of see it back in the 80s. I could totally see it.
That's funny.
Anyway, Miracle Man goes and they basically stop these guys by going into the future, time travel, because why not, and stopping them from coming back in the past. I don't know.
No, it makes sense. See, what happens is they go into the future, which would make a parallel dimension, actually, so it doesn't we don't want to.
Oh, no,
that.
It worked out in Avengers Endgame. It's totally fine.
Listen, it's a Flash story. We get it.
Exactly. So they win the day, and then it like starts zooming in on, it's like a freeze frame that starts zooming in on Miracle Man's eye, which comes into the present day.
It makes me think of that, but where are they now?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what this is, because it goes into what we're calling present day, which is 1982. We start out with these couple guys in this truck. They are
planning on robbing something, and we'll see that here in the preceding issues or pages. But we see Miracle Man now in the future-esque having a dream, and it's the ship blowing up and killing everybody, basically.
I have something to comment on that later, but
yeah, which we find out is like an atomic weapon.
Yeah, it was a we'll find that out here in a bit. It's basically just this base that blew up and killed everybody, and it's the Miracle Man family, and they're all allegedly dead. But then we get Mike waking up next to his naked wife, Liz.
Which I'd like to say that I was glad later on Liz got her ass cracked a seam, because in this first picture, she literally looks like she has no...
She has like half an ass.
She doesn't have a real ass. Yeah.
Mike is, you know, he had this dream and he's complaining about a headache, by having migraines, but he's got to get off to his paper. He's got to go report for this big project that's happening. I can't remember exactly.
Something about radiation testing or something like that.
Yeah. I will say that his partner, his cameraman or whatever, looked like a homeless bum. I thought he was a homeless bum when I was first flipping through it. But okay. But then these terrorists, the same guys we met in the very beginning, come running in with guns, and they are holding everybody captive. But then they take all of the news reporters and news crew into the building to then have a presentation.
Hey, they needed their own, press conference.
That's basically what happens. Okay, I guess. I don't know.
Listen, terrorists need a press too.
Hey, you got to press the propaganda, right?
Well, it's also the 80s where they didn't have their own equipment to make the press and hijack news stations, so you have to just kidnap people. Makes sense.
But while this is going on, Mike has a bad headache, falls down, and then they're like, he's sick, he needs some air, and one of the terrorists is like, oh, all right, cool, I'll take him out. Yeah, why not? I mean, we're terrorists and bad guys, but we're gonna worry about this one reporter because
They don't want to kill anybody.
Listen, they're terrorists with a heart of gold.
There we go.
Yeah, they just want this plutonium to, you know, sell off and make money so that those people kill somebody.
Yeah.
They're not responsible.
Fair enough.
They're capitalists.
There you go.
Exactly.
But as
I'm a businessman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As they're dragging Mike through, he somehow sees this the warning sign.
Like atomic power station, authorized personnel only.
Yeah.
But he sees the word atomic, and then he sees it reflected backwards, and he says, Kimoda.
And that's the magic word to make him into Miracle Man.
And then he's like, Shazam! Wait, no.
Wrong one. And what ends up happening is he, you know, changes into Miracle Man and kind of burns this guy that was holding
him. Oh, Jesus, I'm blind. Oh, God, I can't see. I'm blind. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is J-E-E-Z-U-S, Jesus. That's our Jesus. Anyways.
So the guys start attacking. They actually fire on Miracle Man, and it's bouncing off them because it's no big deal. And he kills them, I think.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if he kills them or if he just knocks them all unconscious.
Nope, he kills them all.
I think it's a mixture of both.
It's a mixture of killing them and knocking them unconscious.
Yeah, you know.
They're definitely not conscious while they're dead.
His legs are dead.
Got no legs.
That's so wrong. And then we see Miracle Man blasting off into the atmosphere, just saying, like, "I'm Miracle Man. I'm back." All super excited.
Woohoo!
Yeah. He's back, y'all.
And that's the end, but it says the beginning.
Okay, so this, like I said, this was reprinted or printed in the Warriors issues, and they were only like 6 pages a piece. Then when the reprint came out, it was like 3 to 4 of the collections together.
Gotcha.
Into the single issue that, you know, Chris had mentioned. It gets confusing. So Miracle Man flies back to Liz, and she is...
passed happy? Out on the floor watching TV.
I mean, that's typical 80s.
Is it?
Been there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I used to sleep on the floor, but that's like, I was a kid. This is an adult.
Yeah, well.
Anyways.
And so she is happy.
No, she's freaked out.
Well, at first, but then like once they explain it, she's okay with it.
Like, whoa, who's this younger, buffer, sexier dude that sounds like my husband?
To be fair, Miracle Man has a receding hairline where Mike did not. Just point that out there.
Couldn't be perfect, man.
Hey, he's got a Peyton Manning forehead.
It's just gotten bigger through age. It's because he had to hold in all of his atomic powers.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyways, she's like, who the hell are you? And he's like, I'm your husband. She's like, Mike? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, right on.
So he tells her the story of what happened, how he got these powers. I say we go into it just a little bit. Basically, this being, this cosmic being, gave him these powers.
Yeah, the Wizard Shazam.
His name is Guntag, Borghelm.
Actually, so that's another thing. We're looking into it. This literally is copy-paste Captain Marvel. But when it went to UK, they had to like, no, he was, this god gave him these powers, not this wizard. Yeah. And he says this magic this word, not this magic
this
word.
This guy's an astrophysicist.
Whatever.
I didn't point out in the prologue, but Mike says holy macaroni a lot.
Yeah.
And okay. Then when the god pops up, it's holy macaroni. I like how he added that in.
Very 50s. Well, and I did read, I thumbed through like a couple of the old 50s issues. They're very Dick Tracy. Like, I remember growing up, like one of my first comics I ever read was Dick Tracy strips. It's very Dick Tracy.
That's creepy. Dick Tracy strips. I don't want to see that.
Anyway. So yeah, we get this this bullshit explanation of his powers and where he came from.
And then Liz laughs at him. And he's like, what's funny? This is how it happened. Stop laughing at me. Stop laughing at me. Oh.
So eventually she's like, okay, I guess this is true. So what happened? And he explains that in 63, right?
Yeah. No, wait, this is in 1956, we were joined by Johnny Bates. He was a little kid, maybe 7 or 8. No, actually, that's important.
Eh.
Yeah, that's Miracle Kid.
Kid Miracle Man.
Kid, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's that one. But we didn't get a Miracle Dog, which was kind of sad. Liz was sad, too.
I think that's a joke because they were planning on doing that at one point, and then just, anyway.
You mean like Crypto? Anyway, so on October 12th, 1963, things went horribly wrong. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And this is his dream of the family going to the ship, Gargonzola. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But Gargonza, their enemy,
Doctor Gargonza or something.
Apparently,
like that.
Yeah, he apparently had the Sky Fortress hovering over the North Sea, and was gonna threaten to destroy things. As the family gets to it, an A-bomb goes off, killing.
Young Miracle Man.
I think, and even in the dream, he sees like two, like one guy split into two.
Yeah.
This one, it doesn't really say much about that, but yeah, his
basically
friend,
he sees the two younger ones get blown to hell.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the end of that. But as the report, you know, because the reporters were at the atomic place.
Yeah, so they actually saw him blast through the roof.
Yeah, you know. They have actual footage of it. Well, somebody sees it.
And he's like, God damn it, he's back to spoil everything, and then smashes a table with, like some super atomic powers.
I think it's his desk. But yeah, he sees this news report and is really, really pissed. I mean, can't blame him. And see, this is where we got to end this first issue.
Gotcha.
Technically, that's where the first issue ends.
Gotcha.
So, thank you for listening to Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Chris, please check out his podcast, Fortress of Comic News and Bat Friends, on all major podcasting apps. If you would like to check out his Kickstarter, search Battle Monsters on the Kickstarter platform, or go to chrisrutt.com, that's chrisrutt.com, and follow the links to find his Kickstarter. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Miracle Man story.